I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. We are so grateful for the opportunity to bring to you the brand new kind of forum in American media, Constitution, principle, and fact and history. Brand new. I guess probably not brand new, but it's not common. Let's just put it that way. I've been working on a new class for Liberty First University, and JC hasn't seen my new class yet. I want him to, but he hasn't seen it yet. I think he's going to have to look at it today. I'm going to make him look at it today. It's called The First Amendment, More Than Just Words. I would probably subtitle it protest versus riot. And so it's all about the distinction of the last four liberties of the First Amendment, which are freedom of speech, freedom of press, right to peaceably assemble, and the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Although we don't spend a whole lot of time on the fifth one. I cover the first one, religious liberty, in its whole separate class, but this one is all about how do we tell the difference between a protest and a riot, not from an opinion base, but from fact and from history and from the founders' words themselves. And
if somebody gets punched, something gets broken.
Yeah.
Might not be a protest.
Right. Might not be a protest. And so I think there's a lot of things that are distracting from both what we would classify as the conservative side and from the liberal side. So I want to be able to clear all those up. I actually taught this class at the college in Oklahoma City, and the students were like, after the class, they were just amazed. They were coming to me, wow, you said the most amazing things. I wish we were learning these things. This was a Christian college too. So I think that just goes to show, you know, I mean, the textbooks really aren't that different when it comes to the core material that's being taught in them.
Okay, so I have a question.
Okay.
I don't know if all of this can be answered with very bright, clear lines. Maybe they can. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen the class. But I watched Senator Cruz be, I'm going to use the word stalked. I mean, the particular thing I saw, he handled very well, and I don't think the protester was, I think she was a protester, okay?
Right.
I don't think this lady was going over the line, but following through the airport and peppering him with the questions and whatever.
Oh,
he
that
said,
one, okay.
And he said, thank you for exercising your First Amendment. You know, and he made his statements. I believe in due process, whatever. And they mm-hmm. kept badgering, you know, which is fine. But where is the line? I understand we have to tolerate a lot, right? The First mm-hmm. Amendment protects unpopular speech. That's
right.
That's the purpose. Mm-hmm. And I understand we have to tolerate a lot in that regards. Where is the line? Is there a line? When you have these situations, so say you have somebody like Senator Ted Cruz, and it's a constant, perpetual showing up and badgering. He's at a restaurant. He's airport, maybe not so much, but restaurant with his family. You know, where is there a line out there where, I mean, at what point is it harassment? At what point is, I mean, if you have this guy never gets a moment's peace, never is not bothered like that. When does it become harassment, or, I mean, when is it a problem? Where is the line? Okay. Is there a line?
Right. Well, there's obviously you chose Senator Cruz because he's a politician.
Yes.
Because you would not have that kind of latitude with somebody doing that to you or me.
Correct.
Right? So obviously what we have. And our founders would tell you that by assuming the responsibility of being a public representative, you carry the burden of being constantly accessible.
Yep.
And you have to be constantly accessible. I think that the line would be drawn at the front door at their house. They can't come into their home. I think the line would be drawn.
Or their property, right?
You couldn't. So if he had a gate around his property, that sort of thing, right? Couldn't come on his property. There would be a line drawn when he's in a private establishment.
Okay.
Like the restaurant.
Yep.
That is.
Excuse me. We talked about that.
Right.
In that case, it'd be up to
the restaurant.
The restaurant.
Right. The restaurant owner. And I think it would also be a matter of the people, the other customers in the restaurant as well, because what you're doing is you're infringing on their liberty. Let me,
now private citizens do come into the picture.
Right. Exactly. So
I have to ask you this because we kind of hit this before. This is another gray area for me. So when you talked about, so it's obvious, and I'm talking about gray areas, right?
This is
kind of ferret out. It's obvious, or it should be obvious, you know, say you've got a band of protesters that they're at his house, say they're on the sidewalk outside of his house. They obviously can't go on his property. They can't cross the fence line, can't go in the house. Everybody would kind of accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what if you had, so this gang, say, of 100 protesters, and they're yelling and screaming to the extent he can hear this in the house, you know, to where, he can't watch TV, he can't talk, he can't sleep, you know, that kind of thing. Does that cross the line?
Absolutely, because now you're also dealing with his neighbors as well. And listen to what Benjamin Franklin wrote in 1722, A Silence Do Good. He said, "Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far by it as he does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer and the only bounds it ought to know." This is why municipalities have decibel ordinances.
Right.
So you just the same as somebody riding down the road with their stereo really loud, or your neighbor having an unruly party where it's blasting the noise all over, that would be the same thing.
Yeah, so you practice this kind of law.
I did.
And so there are restrictions, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having a protest and they talk about amplification, so
right.
Like you can't have you you can have this protest, you can do whatever, but then no microphones and speakers and this
right because it boils down to that principle. You're free to speak, you're free to do, but you cannot hurt or control the right of another.
And is that because so other people that would be affected by this have a right to the enjoyment of their own property, their own
absolutely
liberty, their own property? So
that's exactly right.
So
and
you're
that's why the
property upon
someone
else's enjoyment of their own liberty.
Right. And that's the so a lot of times you hear people say we need to strike a balance. And unfortunately, that's usually used in terms of government power and liberty. But
or
the
feelings.
Or feelings, right. But the balance is not between government power and liberty, or between somebody's feelings and liberties. The balance is between respecting
liberty versus liberty.
One person's liberty over another.
Right.
And so that's why this is important. And I think that a lot of it has to do what you're seeing now is what we call the fake news. Mm-hmm. And we have a section in this that Thomas Jefferson takes over in the presentation. He just literally takes over the presentation. And he says, liberty equals freedom of press.
Yeah.
He says, our liberty depends on the freedom of press. That cannot be limited without being lost. But then we know that Thomas Jefferson was not a fan of the media. And that's part of the class that I teach is showing the distinction between press and media. We have this phrase that the media uses, free press, right? Free press. Well, they confuse freedom of press with that term free press. They don't mean the same thing, because free press means, you know, corporate media. That's how they, the White House, what do they call it? The White House Correspondence Corps, whatever they call those. And so
your official approved, got the badge.
Right. And I think a lot of people blame the media for today, but I in developing this course, I think it boils right back down to what Samuel Adams said about knowledge and virtue. Listen to what Jefferson says. He says, "Nothing can now be believed which is seen in a newspaper. Truth itself becomes suspicious by being put into that polluted vehicle. The real extent of this state of misinformation is known only to those who are in situations to confront facts within their knowledge with the lies of that day." So what Jefferson's trying to teach us here through this freedom of press portion of the Liberty First University class is that liberty is dependent upon an educated people. If you have people running around who just simply take what they see in the news all the time, I think I meant to cover, but I don't know if I did, the fact that Donald Trump stood up and gave this speech about a Civil War general. Well, NBC reported that he called a rebel.
Robert E. Lee.
Right.
Was a great general, whatever.
Right.
So therefore he's promoting slavery and racism and neo-Confederate.
It turns out Donald Trump didn't even say that.
Yeah.
He was talking about Grant.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually recorded, and all NBC did was come back and say, oops, we're sorry. I mean, I can't really accept that apology because I don't think it was an accident. I think it was intentional.
Right, it's not an accident. And then when you spent 12 hours saying the wrong thing.
Right.
And then you send out a little, 40-character tweet.
That's one of the things that points that I made on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram is they've got nothing to lose. They've already disseminated the lies they want to people to know. And that's why Jefferson makes the distinction. It's you can't believe what's in the newspapers, so you have to be an educated people so you notice the lies.
I tell you what, so a mark of honesty would be the corrections are the front page story, right? Anytime you have a correction in the newspaper, it's always buried in the bottom right corner of the last page. You know, it's hidden somewhere. It's a little sentence stuffed in a bunch of other words.
Listen, Jefferson says liberty does not equal a perverted press. And before we go to the break, I want to give you this quote. He says, "It's a melancholy truth that a suppression of the press could not be more completely deprived the nation of its benefits than is done by its abandoned prostitution to falsehoods." Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. You know, there are culturally words that are popular. I mean, they pop up all the time. You're always telling me I use the word ridiculous a lot. I love how that word rolls off my tongue, ridiculous.
By the way, I think that quote was MSNBC's motto, that what you were reading.
Oh, yeah?
Last segment.
It's a melancholy truth that the suppression of the press could not more completely deprive the nation of its benefits than is done by its abandoned prostitution to falsehood.
Yeah. And then they have a, and we're all for it.
And we're all for it.
At the end of that. I think I saw that on their station.
I was just thinking, I'm noticing because I'm getting into really having more time to read and to read more classes, to develop more classes more quickly. That word prostitute and prostitution was a word that they used a lot back then. And I've sort of picked it up as well, because for them it had a very deeper meaning than it has today. And they love to call their politicians prostitutes. I mean, I told you Mercy Otis Warren called them political prostitutes.
Right.
I love that phrase. But it encompasses the whole thing. So prostitution to falsehood, right? That's what we have. It is literally the media, right, concerned more with their market share than they are with truth. They want ratings, they want money, so they're prostituting themselves to falsehoods in order to gain market shares and their
a more rabid base following.
And building
your revenue stream.
Yeah, but the ignorant moiling mob cares nothing about facts, but they are stinking passionate about what they do, and they're like lemmings. They'll follow you over a cliff. Hey, I heard from our friend Bernie Thompson.
Yeah.
Bernie Thompson, our friend, those who are longtime listeners know our friend Bernie Thompson was
of the Bernie Thompson show,
victim to the hurricane.
Yeah, Panama City hurricane.
And we missed him for like 3 days. Yeah. I was really concerned about him.
Got word from Bernie Thompson. He's okay, and he's back up and running. Finally got phone service there in Panama City. We have a work that we're trying to help there in Panama City. The mission that we work with, Global Impact Ministries, has dedicated itself to help rebuild a boys' home there, and we've committed to providing the flooring to be about $5,000 project. And we're just a little under halfway to our goal, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
I heard this morning. So if you want to help with that.
So we need about $3,000?
Yeah, just about $3,000 more and we'll be there.
Oh, so, well, we can do that. Orphans. These are orphan boys, and we're going to rebuild their floor for them. And I did want to do a little public service announcement.
Go to GIMI.world, by the way.
Oh, I thought you already did.
GIMI.world.
I did want to do a little public service announcement for all of our Floridians, because I'm getting a lot of people asking me on Facebook and Twitter, how do I know where I'm supposed to vote? Because we're looking at 2 weeks maybe before these people get electricity and stuff back together. And so they're wondering, where do we go and vote? I mean, this is not just early voting. This is like on-time voting. Where do we go to vote?
Yeah.
And so Floridians affected by the hurricane, if you want to know how to cast your vote, you need to call the Florida Division of Elections for instructions. And the phone number is 850-245-6200. Florida Division of Elections, and the phone number is 850-254-6200. I know we're a global show, but I'm sure our listeners won't mind us giving out that
PSA. Everybody nationally knows. I mean, this is a national event. Florida getting whacked by the hurricane.
Right.
It's been devastating in that area.
Man, I just don't think it's...
It's one of the worst ever.
Ever.
It's unbelievable. If you haven't seen the pictures of Mexico City Beach, just, you just have foundations that are just sitting there where buildings used to be. It's just wiped, absolutely wiped clean. It's unreal.
Well, we're about to head into a break, and there's a couple things that I want to address in the last half of the show that have to do with constitutional issues from current events. So we have President Trump threatening Mexico if a caravan of Honduran immigrants or migrants reaches the U.S. border. And we also have...
Did he threaten them? I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what the headline says. And BBC is reporting that Trump moves to quit a 144-year-old postal treaty. So I think we need to go to the source, which is the Constitution, to see how this is supposed to work. And then we can maybe help our representatives make that happen. Constitution, and from every direction, we cry revolution, standing together. The love of our country as our ammunition.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. This is our Daily Journal on Thursday, which means we won't be with you tomorrow on Friday, but we will be with you on a double dose on Saturday. Remember, if your radio station is not carrying the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, you can ask them to do that. Or you can find us on Spotify, Google Music Play, iTunes, TuneIn.com. All you have to do is just simply put into your search engine Chris Ann Hall, The Chris Ann Hall Show, and you'll find a bunch of different places you can find the show, podcasted all the time. It's amazing how many people are rebroadcasting our show. We don't charge like Rush or Laura Ingraham or those guys do. We just let people rebroadcast, so it's everywhere, and I frankly can't keep up with it. Remember, though, by the end of the year, we're going to be moving exclusively to SoundCloud. We will no longer be on Podomatic. No, they charge us way too much money for the services that they're not giving us. And it's just time for us to move on. And so help us with that transition. If you are on Podomatic or your carrier runs through Podomatic, just let them know SoundCloud is where they need to go. And then you can always get it at chrisannhall.com as well. Now, JC, when I teach students and they bring to me current event issues, or I'm talking to people on Facebook or Twitter, and they say, can Trump do this? How is this supposed to work? I always say, you got to go to the Constitution first, right? First, find the delegated power, then find out how that power flows, and then you'll know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. So President Trump, according to Time, I'm sure we have some really credible presentation of facts here. President, did you catch that sarcasm?
Yes.
It's a sarcasm. President Trump threatens Mexico if a caravan of 3,000 Honduran migrants reaches the U.S. border, right? So what is this? What is this? This is not immigration, okay? This is not...
It's an invasion.
I know that sounds crazy, but I think... they're not coming in with weapons that we know of.
Right.
But in reality, this is a situation that could overwhelm us.
Over us? What do you mean?
Overwhelm the borders of those states.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you've got 3,000 people crossing over all at one time.
I'm just going to let you roll. Because I think the whole thing is overblown like crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, the bottom line.
It's a large number of people.
It's a large number of people.
To hit a checkpoint at one time.
Disney deals with more people in a day.
Right.
Going through their checkpoint.
Right.
Is that the point you're trying to make, JC?
No, I mean, I get it. the bottom line is they're not U.S. citizens. It's foreign citizens, foreigners. You don't know who these people are. And he said, Trump says criminals. First off, how does Trump know that? What did you go take? You've collected IDs and criminal record. You don't know who they are. But just that very fact, we don't know who they are. You have to have some kind of oversight of this thing. What if it's a bunch of ISIS fighters or drug cartel people with bombs? Whatever. So yeah, okay, it's reasonable to want to control. Have oversight.
Regulate
the flow.
Goodness gracious, they regulate our flow. Why shouldn't they regulate the flow of non-citizens?
So it is a big crowd.
A crowd.
it is a crowd.
It is a crowd.
But think about it. You're in your city, your little town, wherever you are. All of a sudden,
Gideon had fewer in his invasion, a gang
of 3,000 people,
start
rolling into your area. You're going to want to know what's up, what's going on with these people,
right?
It's not.
And they start camping on your front lawn and building fires in the street, to keep warm or cook or something.
I think the whole thing is slightly overblown. It doesn't mean it's unreasonable to deal with it, but I'm not on the side of some of my libertarian brethren with, open borders, and it's just people, they go wherever they want.
Yeah, right. I think there has to be some kind of happy medium there.
Yeah.
What I want to deal with is a tweet that Donald Trump sent out that said, In addition to stopping all payments to these countries, which seem to have almost no control over their population, I would hope that the U.S. government doesn't.
Statement.
Yeah, I know. I would hope that the American government doesn't have control over their population either. He says, I must.
We know what he meant.
Yeah, right. Right. Exactly. I think. I must, in the strongest terms, ask Mexico to stop this onslaught, and if unable to do so, I will call up the U.S. military and close out our southern border. Now, he's talking about two powers here, stopping payments to the countries and calling up the U.S. military to close down the southern border. Now, when we're dealing with powers, the bing, 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 bing Constitution bell needs to go off. And so we have to go to the Constitution. Does the president, under Article 2, have the authority to call forth the U.S. military? And the answer, boys and girls, is?
In time of war?
No, he does not. He doesn't even have time to do that. And he does not even have the time of war is the calling forth,
right?
And so Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15 says to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union to suppress insurrections and repel invasions. Sorry, that repeal was some autocorrect that stuck in my brain. I don't know. And repel invasions. Since it's Article 1, it is a power that has been delegated to Congress. Now, I don't care what the War Powers Act says. I don't care what UCC or whatever thing the judicial and federal supremacists want to quote to me. Article 1 delegates that power to the Congress, and Congress cannot abdicate, cannot slough off that power without being a violation of separation of powers.
Which is what they'll say, which is how they'll explain it to you.
Yeah, that's how they'll explain it to you.
We've given the president this authority to do this. That's what they'll tell you.
But they don't have the authority to give up that authority.
Right.
Because there's separation of powers for a reason.
How would it technically supposed to work if the president wanted this to happen?
He would, okay, so if the president wanted this to happen, he would petition the Senate to go to bring forward some kind of a resolution that would move through the House and the Senate to move a certain number of the local militia to the border to help facilitate this.
They did send the National Guard the last time this was going on.
Yeah, but see, that has to be done by Congress. That cannot be done by the president.
But don't the states?
Well, and the states could do that. The states could do that on their own, right?
Well, I think that's what happened the last time. The president
asked the governors.
To the states.
And
the states sent the National Guard, National Guard troops.
And that's how it should work. But that's not the president calling up the U.S. military.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the governors sending over the National Guard.
Yeah, I suspect this is more Trump speak.
Well, yeah, so, I'm sure of it. But we need to understand.
What he's saying is he's going to do the same thing the way they did it last time.
Okay, but it wasn't.
He's going to say it, then the governor's going to do it.
Well, that's the problem, though. We cannot conflate the term of the state militia with the U.S. military. They are not the same thing, constitutionally speaking.
No, people are going to.
And the more we keep doing that,
right? And people are going to receive like that idea,
right? Right. And there'll be people who will be like, "Oh, he's a tyrant." Then be like, "Yeah, Trump, do it." But if right, seriously, but if it was Barack Obama, then it would be
okay.
It would be okay one side and then wrong
but
on the other.
But he just have to stand and lift up his hands and say, you know, I'm commanding the wave of Hondurans to recede.
You mean Barack Obama?
Yeah. You wouldn't have to have the military.
So the other thing that I want to get to here is this stopping all payments to these countries. Ding, 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 ding. Hello. Not a presidential power. Stopping payments to the countries would be a matter of treaty. Treaty power is found in Article 2. But the president cannot wield it autonomously. He must have 2/3 of the Senate to concur with any treaties. And that would also require a repeal of the treaty to have 2/3 of consent as well.
You know what? You know, the question that pops in my head is not, can the president do that? The question that comes to my mind is, what are we paying these countries?
Yeah, right.
What is this money you speak of?
Right. See, that's the underlying thing, and I'm glad you brought that out, because I probably would have forgotten as I'm getting deep into this constitutional issue.
Yeah, like, what see, are you talking about?
See, I get into this teaching, and I'm like, I'm getting deep into the records of the convention and Blackstone and Williams and Federal Farmer and the debates, and then you got to pull me back out.
You're driving a motorcycle. I'm the regular guy in a sidecar,
so I get
to ask these questions
right.
while you're focused on where you're going. What are we? So we're talking Mexico and Honduras and Guatemala and like what?
Yeah.
What? We're cutting them a check?
Right.
For what?
Right. Yeah. For what? So, I have an article on.
By the way, a real journalist would answer
these
those
questions. Right. So I have an article at chrisanhall.com called UN Treaty, Sea Treaty, Gun Treaty, What Are We to Do? And it's the explanation of Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the Constitution, the power of the treaty. And so if you want to have a real foundational understanding of the mechanisms of the treaty, the ins and outs, how they're supposed to work, you need to go to chrisanhall.com and read this article in the treaties and know how it's supposed to work. When you're asking that question, JC, what are they doing and why are they doing it, you know, paying this money to other countries, we have to understand that the treaty process is limited by the Constitution itself. Jefferson wrote in 1793, he wrote as an explanation of the writing of the treaty power. He said, quote, "I insisted that in giving the President and Senate a power to make treaties, the Constitution meant to authorize them to carry into meant only to authorize them to carry into effect by way of treaty any powers they might constitutionally exercise." So what Jefferson was explaining, most people don't know this. Jefferson wasn't part of the debate. He was over in France, actually. But he was constantly in communication and directing and sometimes even leading the debates through a surrogate, you know, and his letters. And he said, look, when they were writing this whole treaty thing, I insisted that we make note that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And that treaties can't exercise a power that has not been delegated by the Constitution itself. Now, I see JC has pulled something up. We're going to have to bring that back after the break, JC. So
I know the checks were cutting to those countries.
You know the checks. You found it that quick?
I found
it. Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll see when we get right back.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. I'm here with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. We're talking about the Constitution. We're talking about Donald Trump. We're talking about treaties. We're talking about money. We're talking about calling up troops and all of it based on the foundation of the Constitution. And this segues, these things are all wrapped together with this BBC News headline, Trump moves to quit 140-year-old postal treaty. Well, Trump can't quit a treaty. And the question is, even in this one, why are we in a postal treaty with the United Nations? Why is there such thing as a United Postal Union, a unit of the United Nations that is dictating how our U.S. post office works?
By the way, maybe Grant was not as great as Trump thought he was.
Yeah.
This is the president that signed this treaty,
yes.
The Treaty of Berne in 1874.
Well, but remember, Grant was just one guy. It's your senators, two-thirds of them, who
right.
said this was okay.
Yep.
And so remember, if it's not a power that's delegated, so who? Okay, so this treaty, this money that Trump is talking about when he's going to cut it off if the Hondurans come overboard, you over our borders, you said you found it.
Yeah, so apparently between 2015, 2018, so the last 3 years, these countries, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, apparently known as Central America's Northern Triangle, we've committed $8.6 billion.
That's a B.
$8.6 billion.
To whom?
Dollars. to these three, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador.
For what?
For a fiscal year that started October 1st, the U.S. has designated $65.7 million in aid to Honduras through the State Department and USAID.
Okay, so why doesn't it say through your Congress?
That's a lot of stinking money.
Yeah, that's your congressman out there doing that.
Yeah.
So you can't – see, Trump didn't hand out that money, so Trump can't take it back.
$8.6 billion.
Oh, man.
Billion.
Yeah,
we're
but when
just
you're,
handing out over
well,
our southern border.
Oh, you know
border.
What? At this point,
just
when you got –
giving it away.
When you got $200 trillion in debt, what's $8 billion?
Yeah,
really?
No wonder
seriously.
You're $200 trillion in
yeah,
debt.
Yeah. Yeah, because the key to being rich is pounding pennies.
You get a check, and you get a check, and you get a check.
Meanwhile, China is paying less postage than we're paying as American business people.
Trump's taking China down. Let me just say that for the record.
China.
He's going
Cool,
after
like China.
These dudes.
Our son says China. He likes to try to say China like Donald Trump because he thinks Donald Trump
well,
says
you know
China
the
really
whole
funny.
Steel tariff thing, and mm-hmm, apparently mm-hmm. now steel workers are getting the highest pay raises they've seen in years.
Well, that's what's going to happen if we pull out. Now, look, Donald Trump is not supposed to be doing this. Your congressman is supposed to be doing this. And here's the thing. Your Congress is going to get credit for this, even though Donald Trump is doing. He's not supposed to be doing it. But here's the thing. They're talking the same kind of thing. He's got that Superman hat. I got my red MAGA Superman
cape. Congress is not going to do it. I'm going to put this hat on.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to fly faster than a speeding bullet.
Oh, my goodness.
And take China off
you know,
the map.
That's all well and good until the next president
right.
comes along, named Hillary Clinton or what's his
Bernie
name?
Sanders.
Bernie Sanders or the other guy.
Pocahontas.
No, not Pocahontas. The guy.
Julian Castro.
Julian Castro.
That's your next Democrat presidential nominee. Right?
Yeah, Julian Castro. It's all well and good until Julian Castro becomes president and he gets his Make America Great
but it's so
Superman
handsome.
Cape on. And then he starts writing out the checkbook. Look, people, I know there's this phenomenon going on in America right now. I know it's happening because Donald Trump is the Republican president and we've got to support him in everything that he does. No, we don't. We have to support the Constitution and we can't be allowing these things to happen. If we can get our congressmen to pull out of this postal treaty, we can not even imagine. I mean, the businesses will just simply... Yeah.
Don't be so short-sighted.
Foreign packages cost about $300 million each year to American voters or American people. It's time for us to stop making these treaties that benefit foreign countries and cost the American people. Wow, that was way too quick, guys. We'll have to see you on Saturday. God bless.
I received. Let me know.